Amen. Job, no doubt, is one of the well-known characters in the Bible. Everybody, perhaps in this meeting, or perhaps a lot of people outside as well, has heard of Job. How often we hear those words quoted, like James 5, verse 11, "You have heard of the patience of Job, how he endured." You know, he had his sufferings. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his health. His friends came to see him and they spoke against him. And you can see this man was full of patience. You have heard of the patience of Job. I ask you tonight, have you heard of the wisdom of Job? Job was a very wise man indeed, and he spoke great words of wisdom during the time of his trial. For instance, when he lost all, when everything was taken from him, we find him in Job 1 verse 20 and verse 21 that he arose and he rent his mantle and he shaved his head and he fell down upon the ground and he worshipped. And here's what he said: "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we fully understand what Job did? He had lost his 10 children. He had lost all of his possessions. He had lost everything he had worked for. And dear friends, he fell on his face. And he worshipped God. You and I probably would have complained. We would have got down before the Lord and we would have said, "Lord, why is this happening? Why have you done this to me? What have I done wrong?" We would have argued perhaps. We would have fought with God. But you see the words of wisdom of Job: "The Lord give and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you can follow that throughout his conversation with his wife. His wife even said to him, "Listen, why would you not curse God and die?" And so he had a word for his wife. He says, "Thou speakest as one of thy foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And so you find this, friends, as we look at the conversation of Job. His friends come, they're no help. He actually says, "Miserable comforters are they." And we find him speaking great words of wisdom, even to his friends. Think of chapter 13, verse 15, know what he said? "But guarding his faith, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Have you ever been in that position where everything is against you? It's dark. It's difficult. There's tears. There's trials in your life. And Job, you see, he had this faith in Christ. And he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And he's speaking here, of course, to his four friends who come to see him. And while he's speaking to these men, he speaks the words of our text. He says, "When a few years are come, then shall I go the way whence I shall not return." And I want to say three simple things about the wisdom of Job here in this text. You see his wisdom, words of wisdom concerning life. You know what he said about his life, and you can see it very clearly here in this text. He says, "When a few years are come." And he recognizes he has only a short time to dwell upon this earth. A few years, that's how he summed up his life. It's just a few years. And this truth is found in various texts, of course, in the Bible. Job himself had said in Job 10 and verse 20, "Are not my days few?" In Job 14 verse 1, he said, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days." And so one minute he's speaking about a few days, and then another time he's speaking here about a few years. But it's the same lesson. He says life is very short. You can put it into the year bracket if you want to. He says you can even put it into the day bracket. Dear friends, life is short. In Psalm 90, verse 12, the psalmist says, "Oh, so teach us to number our days." He's talking here about life. How long we'll live with our family. How long we'll live in this world. He says, "Lord, well, teach us to number our days." It's only a few days. Life is very short, you see. Years, days. And Psalm 90, verse 10, talked about 70 years or 10. 70 or 80 years. But friends, that's a short period of time. And the lesson we have here, very clear for everyone in this meeting, we have only a short time to live on this earth. When a few years are come, and this truth is found in various texts of the Bible. The few years. It's found in testimonies in the Bible as well. Job said, remember, he's testifying. He's broadcasting. He's proclaiming about his life. He's talking here really about the length of his life. He says it a few years. Well, others have done the same. You can think there of Jacob. Jacob was before King Pharaoh in Genesis 47 and the verse 9. And Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" I want you to notice how he answered that question. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." So he's telling his age. Sometimes we don't like to tell our age. How old are you? Well, some people may want to hide that tonight. But he told it. He says, "Listen, I'm 130. But no, how did he describe the years of his life? He says, "Listen, they're few. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." He's talking about the length of his life. He says it's few. 130. Dear friends, he says it's short. I was over in Isle of Man there preaching. It was just the end of last year. And I went down to for something to eat Saturday night. And then to a chip shop. And I sat at the table by myself. And as I was sitting there, this man and wife and family came in, and there was no table for them. So of course, being a Christian, all right, brother, I got up, and I says, "Go on ahead, take my table." I said, "No, no," I says, "take my table, don't worry about it. If I got my chips, I was happy enough." But the man saw what I did, and he says, "Sit down there at my table." So I sat down with this man, never met him in my life. Two of us start to talk. Just talk generally, of course, don't you? And we talked about different things. And then we talked about life. And he told me a story. He says, "You know, when I was younger, my friend and I, we started to work. And we're just around about 20 years old. And he says, the boss looked at both of us. And he said to us, 'Boys, you better start preparing for retirement.'" And he says, the boss went on ahead. And they said, we looked at each other and we said, "Well, did you hear what he said? We better start preparing for retirement. We're only 20 years old. He's talking foolish." I remember this man was telling me this. And now he was retired. And he was saying, I was speaking to my friend the other day. And we talked about that day. That the boss said, "You better start prepare for retirement. It'll soon come." He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe how quickly life has passed. And I no doubt tonight this is my testimony. This is your testimony. Our childhood days are gone. Our teenage years are gone for most of us in this meeting. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You see, life, it's like a few years. That's all it is. I remember when my dad died. At that time, to me, he was an old, done man. I had to be honest. I was 17. He's old, done man. Do you know what age he was? He was 54. 54. I'm older than that tonight. But that's how quickly our testimony, friends, life is life at best. It's very brief. We see it in our testimony. The very types of the Bible show that our years are few. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 39, "For he remembered that they were flesh, a wind which passeth away." And the Bible says about our life, it's like a wind, like a blast. Just like a blast of a wind, friends, just which passes. You can go to James, in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "For us, you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." He says here, our life is just like a vapor, like putting on the kettle. You see the vapor coming up? It's gone. Take for instance Psalm 39 and verse 5. "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth." Friends, he's speaking about the length of his life. He said it's just like the breath of a hand. The span of a hand. You see, in the very testimonies, in the texts, in the types, what do we learn here tonight? That life is short. Your life is short. And I'm sure everybody here tonight will testify that life, my days are short in this world. Where's your life went to? The only time it went slow was when we were in school. It's not right for most of us. But after that, friends, it flew. It flew. Remember, Barzillai was asked a question, how long have I to live? Well, the answer is very simple. Not long. Not long, friends. And Job here is speaking about life. He says, my days, when a few years are come, this world, this life of mine, it's only a few years. And that's the same with every one of us here in this meeting. Life is very short. It's only like a few years, isn't it? It's only like a wind. It's only like a vapor, is it not? It's only like, friends, a hand breath. We're just here for a few years. And I want you to notice that tonight about your life, where you sit tonight, where you are tonight, when a few years are come. And then there's a words of wisdom concerning death. Because you notice here that he continues, "When a few years are come, then I shall go the way." Notice what he says. "In a few years, I shall go the way." Job knew that he was not here to stay, friends, but he was here to go. And when a few years comes, he says, "I shall go the way." He says, "I'm going to die." That's what he's saying. "I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this scene of time. I'm going to leave my possessions. I'm going to leave my family. And a few years comes, I shall go the way." Death to Job was something, you know, that was sure. You can see that in his words. "I shall go. I shall go. Not that I might go. Or I hope I don't go." But here was something he's very, very certain about. He says, "I shall go. I shall die." In fact, when you read the book of Job, you'll find that many times he had the subject of death in his lips. You think for chapter 17, verse 1, "My breath is corrupt, my days are extinct." He said, "The graves are ready for me. The graves are ready for me." In Job 14, you know what he said in verse 10, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yet man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" And death to Job was something, my friend, I was very sure. He says, I shall go this way. You know what? Death is sure for all of us. There are things in this life we are not sure of, but except Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you can be sure of this. You shall go the way. You shall go the way. So shall I. Because the Bible tells us the wages of sin, friends, is death. And the Bible tells us that sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And so that death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. What does sin bring forth? It brings forth death. That's why we're dying. That's why we're getting old. The Bible says we shall all fade as a leaf. And dear friends, we shall go the way. I will go the way. So will you. See, death is something that is sure. It's all around us. I was at a funeral today. I had to go to a funeral today and all along for a man that I knew. I was speaking to a man one day at a funeral, and he tells me, you know what he does now? He's retired. He says, I spent my time going to funerals. He says, I would go to 3 funerals a week. 3. Where he lives in the community. And you and I can watch others being carried, listen, down the pathway. I watched it today. But one of these days, I shall go the way. One day, but you be carried down the pathway. One day you should die. You're going to go the way, friends. I want you to learn that tonight. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, there's a time to be born, listen, and there's a time to die. Death is sure for all of us. You may have your health and strength tonight, and thank the Lord for that. You may have a blessing of home and all the rest that goes with that life. You may have a good business and all the rest of it. But friends, I want you to see tonight, you're going to go the way. You're going to go down this way someday. Sure it is. Your neighbors will be following your coffin. Your family will be following your coffin to the grave. I shall go the way. And death to Job was something that had been set. For notice what he says, when a few years are come, over in the margin, if you have it in the Hebrew, it means years of number. And so Job here was saying that really the years have been numbered for me, that has been set. But who numbered them? Who was it that numbered these years, these days for Job? Well, I tell you here tonight, it was God. God had numbered it. And Job was being honest. He is being honest here before the Lord. He says, my days, my years, they've been numbered. God has numbered them. And that's why I'm going to go this way. In Job 7 verse 1, he says, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Is there not an appointed time? Of course there is. A lot of time has been put to all men upon this earth. Different times, of course. In Job 14 and verse 5, he's speaking about man. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds, listen, that he cannot pass. Job is very clear about this. He talks about months, the number of his months, the number of his days, the number of his years. They've all been set by God. And notice what he says when he comes to this boundary. Notice what he says, friends. He cannot pass. He can't pass. He may, dear friends, have the best doctors around him. He may have the best medical care provided for him. His family that he loves may be gathered all around the bed. But when he comes to this boundary, he has to go the way. He has to go the way. That's why Job said, I shall go the way when I come to this boundary. Remember the great verse in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Dear friends, can I say to you tonight, your years have been numbered by the Lord. You hope, well, I'm here for a long time. You may not be. You may not be. How do you know that tonight you're nearly at the end of it? Maybe just a couple of more days to go. I do not know. Not one of us knows. But God has set this boundary. And every day, listen, you're getting closer to it. You're getting closer to this. teaching of the Bible. That's why he says in Job 17, verse 1, as I read, he says, the graves are ready for me. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, maybe the coffin that will carry you to the grave is sitting tonight on the shelf. Maybe it's already made. The gold plate's on it. And the only thing the man has to do is to put your name and the date that you have died. You don't know, friends. That's a reality. I shall go the way. And that is sure. And this has been set by God. And death also was something that had been secret. I shall go the way. But he didn't know when he would go the way. He didn't know at all. He didn't know how many minutes, how many hours, how many days, how many weeks, how many months. He didn't know. He didn't know how many years. But he said this, I shall go the way. He didn't know the timetable. He didn't know it, friends. It was secret. Isaac said one time in Genesis 27 and verse 2, behold, now I am old. And he said these words, I know not the day of my death. I don't know it. But I'm going to go this way. This is what Isaac was saying. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this scene of time. But I don't know. I don't know the day of it. And now to you. It's secret. God knows it. Look at that man in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, getting on well in his farm. He's planning, I'm going to pull down the barns. I'm going to build greater. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't even have a night. He didn't even have another day left, friends. God said, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't expect it. Unexpected. But he was strong. He was healthy. He was a hard-working man. But friends, he had to go the way. And that could happen to you tonight. The Lord forbid it, of course. Happened to myself, by the way. It's secret. I don't know when it'll be. I wonder if we could look tonight at the calendar of God and see your name on it. There it is. The date, the time, the place, the circumstances when God will bring you along this way. You're going to go it, friends. I had to say it tonight, and I want to be honest with all of us tonight. I shall go the way someday. It's before us all, of course. Before us all here in this meeting tonight. We're going to walk this way. We're going to be carried this way. I shall go the way. Words of wisdom concerning eternity. Job was going somewhere. He was going to a place of no return. For he says, I shall go the way once, I shall not return. He knew that death was not the end, you see. In Job 14, verse 10, he says, but man dieth, man wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And here's what he says, but where is he? Where is he? And Job is saying, I shall go the way once, I shall not return. Well, Job, where are you going? Where are you going to, Job? You know where Job is going, friends? He was going to heaven. That's where he was going. He was going to heaven. Christ was the Savior. You know what he said in Job 19, verse 50, or verse 25 to verse 26? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skins worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And Job knew what was before him, friends. He knew he had a Redeemer. My Redeemer liveth, and I know one day I will see God. Job knew where he was going. He was going to a place of no return. He's going to heaven. To eternity. Eternity, friends. Read the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, Job was going to heaven. I shall go the way once I shall not return. Of course, others go to hell. But you read the Bible, dear friends, and there's no middle ground in this. We're all on a pathway tonight to the place of no return. It's either to heaven or to hell. And you can look yourself in Luke chapter 16 about that man. He lifted up his eyes in hell, pain and torments. He was lost. He had died in his sin. He was being punished. He had rejected Christ. He had turned his back on God. He did not have salvation. He had made no preparation. And he was lost. He went away, friends. And that's the teaching of the Bible. And the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, it's a permanent place because he says, I shall go the way whence I shall not return. You don't come back, of course. Look at Job 7, verse 10. He says, of man who dies, he shall not return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. And what do you think of those words? He dies, but the Bible's very clear here. He shall not return no more to his house. He ain't coming back. Or she ain't coming back. You see, they've went the road of no return, and there's no coming back. I have watched many funeral corpses being taken out of a home. And Mr. Baxter's the same. But I've never seen one been brought back in again. Not one of you. Anybody here? See the hearse, stop the hearse, turn the whole thing around, and let's bring them home again. Not one. Not one, friends. Of course, in the Bible you read of Christ, that young man, and stopping the funeral procession. That's a different story altogether. But I have never seen one returning. You see, dear friends, you go to this place of no return, and there's no return when you die. There's no return. That's solemn, isn't it? People not want to leave heaven. They're in heaven. Why would you ever want to come back here? And then the people, of course, who's lost in their sin, they can't get out. There's a great gulf, the Bible says, fixed. They can't get out. They'd love to get out. They'd love to get home again to their family and warn them. Like that man in Luke 16, he wanted his brethren to be warned lest they come to this place of torment. But friends, he couldn't get out. You see, it is a road of no return. And I want to say this tonight with all my heart to you. You are on this way. You're heading down this road of no return. Do you think about this? Have you thought about your soul, friends? Your sin? How will you die? You're brought down this road. You ain't coming back. You're not coming back to your wife or to your husband. You will not be coming back to your business. You will not be coming back to your family. You will not be coming back to your community. You're gone. You ain't coming back. It's a road of no return. And that's why I said to you tonight, you've got to make preparation for this road. Such a journey will be taken by all of us. It stands to sense that we make the preparation. You go on holidays, what do? Don't you make preparation? Don't you get your passport, get your photograph taken, get your case all packed and all the rest of it, and gather up a few pounds. You make preparation to get on that particular road. Friends, I want to say here tonight, you need to make preparation. Before you come to the end of this road of no return. And you need a Savior. You need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus to wash away all your sin and to save your soul. That's the message of the Bible. This is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. And to do this, he didn't save himself. No. He was mocked. He was despised. He was rejected. He was punished. He endured the wrath of God upon the cross. Why did he do this? To save us. To save us, friends. To take us to heaven. To take away our sin, you see. This is the gospel. And the Bible is very clear about this. If I repent of my sin and I come to Jesus Christ, he will forgive me all my sin. He blot them all out with his blood. And he'll save the soul. And friends, I say to you tonight, have you made the preparation? Have you made it? See, Spurgeon says, he who does not prepare for death is more than an ordinary fool. He said these words, he's a madman. Madman. If you made preparation for your death, if you made preparation for eternity, friends, he said, no, I haven't. I've sorted things out about my home, my business, my family, but I've never made preparation about my soul. Now, don't be a fool. You're going down this road of no return. Now tell me, would you make preparation tonight? Would you come to Jesus Christ? That great verse of 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that you're prepared for death? That you're ready for God's eternity? Because I have warned you tonight from God's word, if you come to the end of this road, friends, you ain't coming back. You have only one opportunity to die. You better do it right. You better get it right. You have only one opportunity. Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Would you trust him? Would you make preparation? Prophet Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. I remember, and maybe you heard me say in the illustration, it was one many, many years ago. And I was in Skarver on the 13th of July. I was saved. And I was standing watching the parade. And I was watching the parade, there were thousands. Those days you stood, now it's all sitting. But in those days you stood shoulder to shoulder. And as I was standing there was this man coming walking up the domain, and he was carrying this gospel text. And there was a man walking behind him, and he was preaching. And he came right up to where we were standing, and he stopped right in front of us. I remember I was saved just a short while before this. And the man just stopped and he looked at all of us and he put his hand up, I guess. You know what he said? Are you ready to meet God? That's all he said. Are you ready to meet God? I nearly fell through the ground. I was shocked. What a statement. Nobody spoke. And he walked on. Friends, in closing tonight, I want to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? You're going down this road of no return in a few years, a few weeks, a few days, a few moments. You ain't coming back. You've lost your soul for all eternity. If you die without Christ, come to him. He will save you tonight. I think of those tremendous words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Just come the way you are. With all your filth and all your sin. He will save you. He will give you everlasting life. Before you come to the end of the road of no return. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, do speak with myself. The Reverend Baxter, we would love to speak with you. I know there's a prayer meeting, but others can pray. We're here to see people come to Christ. And if we have prayers answered tonight, if you stayed behind and settled the matter of your soul once and for all, and to know it is well with my soul, I'm going to heaven. And when I come to the end of this road, I have no fear. because Jesus Christ is with me and have everlasting life. Do speak with us, and I trust the Lord would write his word upon all hearts. Let's all pray.